I'm ready now.
We'll call to order the council meeting for January 11, 2016. And happy holidays to everybody. Happy New Year. And with that said, I'd like Alex to volunteer to lead us in the prayer before this meeting, first of the year.
Please stand and pray, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for letting us be together this evening. I ask, dear Heavenly Father, that you would open our minds and give us clear thinking with all the budgets and such that are going on. And I ask that we be with each and every one of us as we leave this meeting this evening and keep us safe as we go home. We thank you and praise you in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Run down the list, or we get reorganized, don't we? Yeah, we'll go over nominations.
I would nominate Jay Sullivan as president.
I'll second it.
We get motion in a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
I'd like to nominate Roger Curry for vice chair.
I second.
Can you get a motion to second for Roger as vice chair? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Mr. Ruff, Highway Department.
Good evening.
Hello.
Salary this year and transfer from the laborers to the tree foreman, the amount of $33,384. Transfer from the laborers over time to the tree foreman, the amount of $1,817. That would be the additional change in his salary. Overtime to the tree foreman overtime is account to be $1,650. He won't lay over and takes the money, so he'll put it in there, but he just saves it. So.
Any questions from Terry on his request for the transfer?
Yeah, I think that was part of it. We started this whole thing.
Yeah,
the black side of the line.
I think we can check the deposit too. That's fine.
She asked to cut this tree down right out inside the window. This was a good question for our tree foreman, but it's too big for us to tackle. We can't even get our lift truck at the top of this tree out here. So. Plus, how do you get a truck on the courthouse wall? I guess it's going to happen. Somebody's been up there. I don't know if they climbed up there or how they got up there. You know, I talked to the town. The town's got a lift truck that's higher or taller than ours. But for insurance reasons, they don't want to mess with it either. So we might have to take additional steps to try to figure out how to get rid of this big tree lay out here.
Mm-hmm. We're going to help take it down, but we can't get through it.
anybody know somebody that can climb real good, that'd be a suggestion. But I think that's what we get for. We haven't got any squirrels up.
Who's it? He's put our line 10 up about 10 years ago. He swung on top of the antenna way up in here like a monkey.
Well, anyways,
any questions for the Sherry and the highway? Yes, make a motion to approve the transfer.
I'll second that.
Could we get a motion in a second to approve the county highway transfer? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Well, yeah. Mr. Murphy?
I'm before you on three items tonight. First is a approval for attendance at board meetings and schedules for myself and my chief deputy in advance, primarily on the attached letter. You'll see the list for the spring conference, the child support conference, the summer conference, and the winter conference. The board meetings are not something we regularly attend. I would ask that you approve that in advance so that our auditor can cut the checks so we can take them with us and avoid the taxes.
Mr. Murphy, could you repeat, please, those meetings? I'm sorry.
I thought it was picking
no,
up.
No, it's okay.
First is a request for an approval in advance of attendance of myself and my chief deputy at various conferences during the year. Suggest so that I shoot.
The commissioners approved that.
Never mind, guys.
I'm down sorry.
Two now.
We approved it for you, Dan.
Oh. It's on my agenda for 7:10. The second thing is a transfer and appropriation of money from the pretrial diversion user fee fund to the pretrial fund. This is a non-reverting fund. We have left over from last year an unspent amount of $2,410.38. We're asking you to transfer $5,089.62, which will completely fund the amount that was approved in the submitted budget. If, again, at the end of this year, if we don't spend all that, that would just be there for next year. One other item you should be aware of is that when we got the grant for the victim's assistance person, they cut back the amount that we had requested from $64,000 down to $50,000. Because of the reduction towards the end of the year, we're going to need to use some of the money that's in the fund that hasn't been appropriated yet to cover the additional, some of the extra costs for benefit package for this person. Because originally all that amount was covered, so when they reduced the size of the grant, we're going to have to come up with the funds for it. So we've got sufficient funds in there for down at the end of the year to make that change.
What was the reduction you get, sir?
It was from $64,000 down to
$50,000. $14,000.
Mm-hmm. But we won't need quite that much because we have other funds which we're using to offset some of those differences.
Any questions for Mr. Murphy?
Is this the only one we're looking at then, is from user fee to child diversion?
Right.
I make a motion for that transfer.
I second.
We got a motion set for the prosecutor transfer. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
The last thing had to do with the $3,000, and it comes out of the county general fund. That's an additional appropriation made necessary by us to hire an expert pathologist for one of our murder cases that we've got, based upon the defense side obtaining another pathologist we encountered. I've talked with the doctor who teaches at Vanderbilt, and I'll be meeting with her while she's at a site in Washington next week, the 17th and 18th of February. so that we can go over the information that we've provided to her and start putting a report together. That trial, for that case, the person is necessary for, goes to trial starting April 1st.
That's the $3,000?
Yes.
Entertain a motion to approve the additional request by the prosecutor.
Make a motion to approve the additional.
I'll second that.
Here we get a motion to second to approve the 3,000 additional. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I believe that's everything I need. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Stay warm.
RB? Last week, I come in front of you, and you guys put my budget on paper. I'm just going to look in front of you tonight to see if I can improve. That would be on the budget block. I have some questions from you before, too. I don't know if I'm sure, but I don't know where they came from. I don't know if I asked you. Anyway, you have, the additionals here and down here, and these come out of a lot of other funds, correct? A lot of line items. For example, you got antivirus software here that came from some other department, correct? No. This is all just additional.
This is all additional.
Okay. I thought some of these came from other departments where they had already built into their budget antivirus software and whatever.
I don't believe any of these come from any other
as far as
when they had any monies in her.
Anytime we do service or maintenance or services, software, hardware, 95-99% of the time it comes out of QMCAP.
Okay. Those number one items for these. Okay, I thought we had programs for antivirus, and we had blocks from Willie and all that kind of stuff that was going to come out of that every year, but
all the blocks for Willie was taken away last year.
Yeah, because they were put in years.
There was there was any funds for Willie because I took over the IT director's job, and they didn't put those in the budgets for this year.
No, I know that, but the money that was going to be put in there for IT work was going to go into your budget, correct? I mean, this isn't just a complete additional for IT work. This is actually, some of this was already budgeted for IT work that we're just...
The only thing that was budgeted was his wages. We didn't cut anywhere. We talked about that the last meeting before it was advertised, about going through and figuring out the service and maintenance contracts.
Right.
And decided not to do anything with it this year, which would give him a handle on us making copies of the maintenance contract and giving him copies of them this year when we go to pay him. And then you'll know. But that was the only thing that was really discussed.
And the blocks that Willie had that aren't there now this year that were there
that money was cut.
That was all cut out. And that this would take the place of a lot of that.
What's in County General? What was budgeted for County General?
Right, okay. But we don't know how much that was. I'm just trying to get an idea here how much additional we have for his budget over what it was before with all the blocks and other things.
It was $30,000 in County General. I'm not sure off the top of my head how much was in. Do you remember how much was in your line item, Jeff?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's good.
You're talking about our service and contract?
For the groups.
Right.
If I was guessing, I would say about the same amount or maybe a little bit higher.
Okay, so somewhere in the neighborhood of $60,000 is what you're saying, probably in the ballpark.
We originally had his computer maintenance, software, hardware, and all that stuff in QM Capital, and you guys said to put it into CEDIT. That's why it's in CEDIT instead of QM Capital.
Okay, so we're looking at the 68.6 and then also what, 80 down here? Yeah. $148.6 total for your budget.
Where'd you get that 68 or something?
That's good.
Okay.
But as I showed you from the other counties surrounding us, I mean, we're not even half of where they're at.
Yeah. Jay?
Yes, sir.
With your permission, I think this first year is going to be not cloudy, but uncertain. Starting in the second year, it's all going to come to be a better number to work with, a better understanding where we're at, where we need to go. But I think this is a great start as of right now.
When you're working on some of this stuff, I'll make sure you get Jeff involved so you can get Keystone involved and other things. He's got now heading up fiber optics to the annex and some other stuff on here that we don't have to do it all over again, you know.
Right.
I just want to make sure we've done it one time.
And I have talked to him and the commissioner with him. Okay. Both all the proper.
I don't know if this is the right time to bring this up, but I had a question on the emails you sent us. One of them had a bunch of bills that pertain to computer stuff, and I don't remember, was it the clerk's office or somewhere?
It had to do with CSI. I know what you're talking about. I think I sent all them because there has to be, we have to put money in that budget because there wasn't enough to pay it.
But what is that? How is that different? Because it was pretty hefty.
$33,000.
We're looking at maintenance agreements next year, putting those into my budget where everything is paid by that.
But who is that that's working on it? I guess I'm.
Those are CSI is like what you say. The clerk's office uses the prosecutor uses it earlier if I'm not right. There's different departments that use the CSI, the recorder's office use the CSI.
And it's a different program that we have to have somebody else.
That's their program. It's proprietary software. Okay. So we have to do maintenance on that program.
We're picking up the clerk's office and we're also picking up the recorder's office. That's what the service and maintenance contract is. I had budgeted $31,000 and it was $32,239. So I shorted it. Because I didn't realize that there was that one part went up again. One of the invoices went up compared to what it was last year. So,
but it wasn't just maintenance agreements. There were some programs too. Or was there any kind of?
It would have been. Stuff? It was all CSI though.
Okay.
All of it was.
There's nothing that we can take care of.
No. That's kind of state.
Okay. That's some of the things that when these get put in my budget. We'll go through the maintenance contracts and talk to them and see if we can lower these. That's my goal to go towards, but that's not going to happen this year.
Right.
So.
Okay. That answers it. Thanks.
Any questions for Rodney?
I'll make a motion to approve these as presented. Both the director, IT director, and the CEO.
I'll second it.
We've got a motion to second to approve the IT director's budget as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, sir.
You had a question on, you have some switches that you're going to have to replace for the.
We're looking at that right now. Okay. I won't know until this week to know whether that's where our issue is. At that point in time, I do have two switches that the sheriff has loaned us to use. But once we figure out that that's where we're at, then I'll come back in front of you to buy two of them.
You're okay to get by until you get your budget in place?
Right.
Right. How long will that take? If you start using it like tomorrow, you've got to wait.
And that's going to be on the state.
I'm sorry?
On the state.
Yeah, I have to send all this to the state for approval first.
Okay, so long couple weeks?
Yes, 10 days.
10 days.
So we should be good.
Okay. All
right. The money's in the fund, so with your approval, I don't think we're going to have any problems.
Okay.
We should be good. When I got that approval from the sheriff, I got a little payment.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
He's going.
I'm Rob Gallagher from Keystone. We're back with it from Carson. What do you want us to stand so everybody can see?
Hey, stand on the table right in front of the way.
If you want to come over here, it'll be fine.
Okay.
Do you need an easel?
No, I'm about three sets.
Okay.
There's one.
That's right. He said one.
I'll get my part done real quick while he's getting ready. This is going to be pretty much the Fritz show here tonight because he's been working on the exterior. What we've been working on at Keystone is putting together a good set of as-built of what's here. So we've got something to start designing. I've got those. I'm going to give these to Jeff because he probably only has a little computer printout. These are full-size sets that we can work on. And then I understand Jeff and I are going to get together pretty quick to talk about some programming issues so we can get started on laying out some designs for you. So that part of the project has been moving forward slowly behind the scenes. We've had guys here crawling around taking all kinds of measurements and photographs while Fritz has been doing his thing. So I'm going to step aside and let Fritz talk about the exterior of the hallway.
Oh, let's try this.
I know something about your building now that I didn't know when I first came here. So if you got any questions, give me a holler. It's a little bit hard to hit an L shape, but I'll give it my best shot.
Mainly fake focuses, and we'll catch on here.
Okay. I'll start over here. The exterior. Let's start with the exterior, and we'll work our way up to the top and then back down to the bottom. The outside is Berea sandstone. It probably either came from Berea, Ohio, or possibly Amherst, Ohio. It is in good condition. The key here is to understand around this window edge. See how this one joint is about 4 inches back. That means that the majority of your building, while it looks like it's huge, big, thick stones, in fact, it really isn't. It's a veneer building, okay? When we look, what does that mean? It means that behind that stone is brick. When you're up inside the attic space, you see the brick. If you were to look right back here and go through that plaster wall, you would see brick. You would see multiple widths or thicknesses of brick. The stone is held into the brick with old iron cramps. That's what these pictures are all about. Okay? So far, so good. Nothing really bad as far as how the building is constructed. When we look at this construction, we'll realize that the only thing separating us from the outside is 4 inches of stone, some bricks with mortar joints that are in pretty bad shape in some cases, some iron cramps, then you have the plaster with lath on the back of the brick, and then you have wallpaper, you have paint or whatever. So to minimize water infiltration, to minimize moisture drive coming in, you need to make sure that we have the outside taken care of. These pictures down in here start to show up close what some of these joints and everything look like. These are some of the worst joints. But the thing that's probably the key are these guys right here. Where you do look like you've got good joints, in fact, you have what we call butter joints. Okay? And so this only goes back a little thicker than my friend here, the microphone. That's what's really keeping water out of this building. So by the time we're done, we want to talk about tuck pointing the building, and we'll come up with numbers for that. I appreciate you guys being able to listen to us tonight. Quite frankly, I'm obviously not 100% prepared because I heard about this at 8:55 this morning. But at least I got something together to show you guys what I'm talking about, all right? So we'll come up with what some recommendations that are going to be prioritized. Tuck pointing this building is not your highest priority, but it's something to be thought of as we move forward, okay? Down on the bottom, Berea sandstone. Sandstone is made in layers. Sandstone was formed at the bottom of old oceans. And so you see these layers. And when it falls apart in layers like a hundred-jack biscuit. You actually have pretty good sandstone. For all the different sandstone buildings I've seen, all the different courthouses I've seen, it is exfoliating minimally. This is also good. Thumbs up. Okay, so far everything's good. So you get a little bit of this deterioration. This is where you have water go through and evaporate, and it tries to break out the layers of the sandstone. But it's pretty minimal. We're not real worried about that either. Okay? One of the things you want me to look at were your entrances. The entrances are also a combination of stone backed with brick. If we look at this guy right here, again, we see about 4 to 5 inches of stone. What's going to be behind that? That's going to be brick again. All right? The brick, these pieces of sandstone go across and they go into these side walls. And so that's what supports down here. That's what supports these guys. So we want to make sure that we minimize the amount of water that gets in there, because now we have no heating whatsoever. So any water that goes in stays in, freeze-thaw, that becomes problematic. As we look at the steps, the top of the steps, I always get this courthouse confused, but this is north, right?
Yes, sir.
So the north face, as you walk up in there, that's what this is all about. You're getting some scaling. Some people have put some patches on, and the patches start to come back off. We probably want to look at something a little more robust. It's probably a series of sandstone Dutchman. Again, not a huge big deal, but a little bit of cost. The water that goes through here, these are actually slabs of stone. Your landings at those are single pieces of stone. These guys are going to be probably about 8 inches thick, and they are exfoliating on the bottom. You got the joints that go through here. Okay? So, everything's still pretty solid, so you need some work on it. We're not going to seal these guys. We talked about that before. That's going to lead to more problems. So you do have some work that needs to be done around these entrances. You're starting to get into retaining wall issues where these guys are trying to push over in this one. That's something that needs to be looked at. And we can fix all that. Again, not the biggest priority that we've got, though. Okay? If we go to the base of the building completely, we go down to the ground floor, the inner excavation is what's on the outside there. On the inside, this I think is Jeff's office. And you can see here you've got the stone on the inside and you've got plaster that's starting to pop off. That's popping off because water comes through and pops that plaster off. On this side, down over here, I saw the remnants of some black material. Looks like a black bitumen waterproofing or dam proofing that you put on the outside of a basement wall. When you dig down, though, you find that it's still stone-faced. A lot of times I find that it's brick, but it's still stone-faced. But you can see the mortar joints, there really is no remnants whatsoever of that dam proofing anymore. So you've got like a basement of your house that has no dam proofing, and it's made out of these stones and old mortar. The water wants to go right through it. Now I think we're starting to get into more priorities, because as you rework this whole space, you don't want to put somebody down in there or some function down in there where you're going to have water come through and cause mold or something like that. Okay? Otherwise, with regard to masonry, we talked about the perimeter wall that goes around the entire courthouse square. You guys all knew that we had some issues with that. These are some photographs of it. What that is it's a combination of cut stone and limestone. And it's cracking in some cases. It's just tipping over, totally unreinforced. It's not very tall, but it is moving in two directions. It's moving horizontally, and it's tipping over. It's fairly easy to fix in concept. The concept is to dig up behind it, get the stones back square, take them apart, put them all back together, then we pin them back together, and put in a waterproofing drain that goes around so we don't have this. All this is just water build up, and over 100 years, it just trying to tip over. So we try to get the water away from it. Okay? Any questions on the first sheet? So in general, that whole exterior masonry is in pretty decent shape. You want to consider doing subfloor, you want to consider possible repairs,
We want to come up with a special price for this around the wall. And it's all relatively good news.
Maybe it's easier. I'm going to get
this. That's so far.
So now, the little drone that we brought out there is in the upper right-hand corner. That's what that little guy looks like. And he took a whole number of pictures, and we saw some interesting things. We also climbed around, and we also saw some interesting things by kind of climbing out through a louver up in the clock tower, and then getting inside the attic and looking at stuff like that. So now I want to talk about the sheet metal. The sheet metal are elements up in here, all the painted material up at the top. Well, the vast majority of the exterior courthouse is sandstone. You've got this sheet metal. And what this sheet metal turns out to be, you're looking at the back of it in here through the attic. You're actually looking at some of the paint streaks that came through some of the joints. Yes, you're looking at a big hole. These guys are different samples of the downspout. There's a piece of downspout laying off on the side. And what that's all telling you, these red indications are that they have lead. There's lead in the paint, and there's lead on the back of the downspout that doesn't have any paint. If I go to the back inside of the attic and I look out and I go ahead and swab this stuff, I also get lead. What this is something called a turn metal. It is lead-coated steel. It is a predecessor to galvanized steel. It was made back in the day when they didn't know how to galvanize steel and put zinc on top of steel. They put lead on top of it. It can be reworked. We finished up a project at Park County where we restored all the turn metal up to the clock tower. So even though it's got lead, don't be afraid of it. It's okay. And you do not have as bad a condition as we had in Park County. But you do have some issues. Everything in the bottom left corner, that's all different forms of turn metal. Yes, that's all different forms of rust. And we all know what happens when it rusts. It just keeps going. Okay? So I'm going to suggest that that is something that we also want to get out, take a look at, and fix. This peak down in here, right in here, that is in fact the same thing. That's looking up in the attic, and yes, that is daylight. Okay. So once it starts to rust, just like your car, this stuff is, 16 gauge maybe? Maybe 18 gauge in over 100 years? But once it starts to go, it goes. And so once you start to lose chunks like this, this is up on the west face. So you're actually starting to lose chunks. And one of the key elements here is realize that when I'm up in the attic and I can take a picture of the back of this stuff, that means sometimes that is the only thing between you and the elements, is this thin sheet metal. Usually it's on the outside face of brick, but sometimes, in fact, that's your only defense against moisture, against burrs, against things getting up in the attic. Okay? So I would like to put together a number on what it will take to fix the turn valve. The roof itself, slate-wise, looks like it's in pretty decent shape. Again, it is going to be lower on my priority list. I think that some of your valleys are in poor condition. The ridges are a little bit different. Some of them actually have a sheet metal cap. Some do not. When they have that slate that goes up like this, there should be sheet metal underneath there, and probably is. Otherwise, you'd have a lot more leaks. But this is not the greatest detail in the world. Once, and it's particularly not right in here. I'm just talking this in there. It's something to be thinking about. Maybe we'll put a ridge over the top of that. Since we're going to have sheet metal guys out here anyway, maybe we put one over the top of what it is, this guy. Okay? The bottom two pictures.
What's this all about right here?
The discoloration on it? Oh, there's a couple pieces of slate that are loose.
Yeah.
But it's, like I say, I'm working on probably five projects right now with slate loose, and this is the best one I got. So it's another good thing.
Okay.
Don't fret, we're going to get the poor problems.
Don't think you're special. We have problems for everybody. These are some patches in these gutters. I think the gutters are probably lined with copper, okay? Even though everything else is turn metal, it was common to go ahead and line these guys with copper. And it would have been something that would have probably also been done the last time somebody did work on the slate roof, because you don't go running around and get turn metal anymore. Can't get really lead-coated steel anymore. You have to go with galvanized and put it back. You do have some flat spots where you just got a built-up roof. That's this stuff there right around these little turrets. Rob would call it something else, but I'm just a structural guy.
And so I think you get some water leaks in there.
They're relatively small, but we'll see some evidence of that. Around the windows, your louvers, the original wood ones where they are, where the slats are, that's definitely lead paint. And then your sealant joints are in pretty poor condition. So that's what these guys are all about.
Okay. Any questions on number two? I want you to look at one more thing before we flip the pages. I want you to look at these two pictures right here and follow your line. Follow, take a little straight edge and follow your eye.
These two guys right here. See, yeah, cheetah.
I was actually asking about that.
These are probably the two better ones
in their roof.
This is where I was able to crawl out the east side of this louver and look down and take some pictures. Okay, now let's go ahead and flip another sheet. Interacting with engineers can be fun. All right, so your roof structure. Your roof structure is tongue and groove decking on wood members. There are purlins, there are rafters, there are hips. There are lots of different things up here. The key is right in here. The only thing holding them together are nails. Decking system, the nails. Toenails, in fact, going sideways. You people, I don't have to tell you people, you understand that's not right. If I was in the city, I'd have to explain this for a week. But it's a decent construction, it's normal construction, but that begins, we wouldn't build it like that today. Okay? But this right here is still relatively good. Now we're going to start to see the problems. And here it's going to be tricky, because I got to kind of work my way through this whole thing. Here, your attic floor. The vast majority of the attic floor is covered with wood deck. It is all over wood joists. The wood joists, if you were to go right in here, I'm going to eventually show you a picture. In fact, it's right here. This guy is directly above right here. There's a truss that used to go across here, and the joists go this way, and the joists go this way. They sit on the exterior wall, they sit on the truss, and they go to that. That is a masonry bearing wall. That truss failed and flipped over. You can see how it failed over in here. This probably includes most of you, right in here. See how it's out of whack? The top one over, started to go. Somebody came in, and this is an engineered fix, in my opinion, and it looks fine. It's steel beams that go down here and hang on to these guys. That's why I can stand underneath there and say everything's fine. This is okay. Let's jump to the courtroom. Above the courtroom, there are more trusses. An old R2 down here, and R2 down here, and these in here. All right, this is supposed to be straight. It's being kicked over by that prop. Mm-hmm. Okay? This, where are you, is supposed to be straight. There's the prop, kicking it over. We're going to talk about why that's there in a second. It's supposed to be parallel. Okay? This guy over here, second truss over the courtroom. A little harder to discern, but starting to split in the lower cords. These are bending, the rods are bending. They're supposed to be in tension, not supposed to be in compression. It's because the whole thing is collapsing on itself, okay? Not okay. So we got to do something with those trusses, because they are holding up the roof of the ceiling over the courtroom. And why is this prop here? Now let's go to, say, this out in here. Okay? And let's kind of take this sheet for me. Let's bring one more up. Let me have a look at this kind of side by side. Let's look at these guys and these guys at the same time. And let's look at
these ridges and these valleys. This is typical of your whole roof, okay? And these members literally are two-by's, that they are so long, they got to be approaching 40 feet long. They're staggered. They go like this, and they go like this, and then they go like this, and they go like this. This is all right in through here. Okay? All the way around your building. Every one of them. There's one, there's one, there's one, there's one. They're all two-by's, probably 2x12s. And there are some pictures of some of them. And like right here, it comes down all the way to the bottom and it sits on a single joist. It comes down all the way to the bottom over here. Sits on a single joist. It doesn't top it into the masonry. It just sits on a single joist. All the way over here. It sits on a single joist. As you go up throughout the height of it, now we're coming off the bottom and we're working our way up. You start to see some braces. We'll talk about the braces in a minute. Comes all the way up to here. That's right here. This is a vertical element that's broken and long gone. This is the nails of this hip pulling out. And then by the time I get done, the whole system has pulled out of the wall. This guy right here, coming out right through here, and get snow and drift all up here, come all the way up to here. Here's this member that goes this way. This is this vertical that's broken off. This is a blow up of this. The nails are pulled out. This guy is no longer attached to this. When I get over in here, that's all this framing, and it's no longer engaged. This pocket, used to pocket, is pulled out. Last time, here we go. Coming up this part over here. This comes all the way up to here. Just as this number. This is this back number. This is a vertical that's gone. This is the blow up of this, the nails of all this. This is all filled out. This whole section comes up and leans into the side of the clock top. It's no longer engaged in the clock top. It is all shifted and gone down. That's what's forming these in the ridges. Okay? Somebody has been up here and put a number of braces, and there are braces just about everywhere. If I go back to this one, you can see some of these braces coming through here. And then as you look at the braces are failing. The tall braces, these are the ones that support this whole side. There are three guys that go up. The braces are splitting, and they go down onto that attic floor. I don't think they were ever intended to go into that attic floor. Here are the braces. These three braces are right over in here. Okay. You've got the top that goes up. You've got smaller braces in here. You see how they're splitting. They're tearing up. Everything's pulling out. These guys are splitting apart. They literally got something to the attic floor. I don't think you have to
close, close, close.
What's this year?
All this masonry work there.
That's the clock tower.
Okay, that's a clock tower. Yeah.
Hang on one sec.
Oh, you're fine.
Stop it, Jake. Go ahead. I forget quickly. So, all these guys, this whole thing right in here, braced. There is a triple brace up in here. It is made of a series of two bys that are nailed together. The two bys are starting to split apart. You got lesser braces down lower. These guys are not becoming engaged. The whole brace and start
going over. Okay. So, I will get to the clock tower in one sec. But in here, there are more places where rafters are just, they're stopped and started, and they just stab on the. It really shouldn't have been done this way. And this is literally somebody put a prop up with a 1x6 to hold up this cantilever. Okay. So in here, I'll show you this. We'll talk about that. These guys are just stabbed. There's a number of rafters. Yeah, they're supposed to go all the way, and then they just. This kind of stuff. There's lots of this kind of stuff. This is actually in the upper right corner where you see the masonry. In the upper right corner, right down. This is your clock tower. It's solid brick. We have arches up in here. That's what comes out of the tunnel, probably right out there, to be honest, and extends all the way up and becomes the support of your clock tower. These channels were put on a long time ago. And actually, we almost think they were built in originally, because they go through the wall in a number of places, but this one doesn't. And so that's a little confusing to me. The other thing is, I probably need to go back and look at this steel section, because when I think the building was built, I don't know if that channel section was available. They didn't make channels of that size till later on. I'm thinking this is probably a retrofit. I think you guys may have had a pretty good windstorm in the past, and that this was something that somebody put in. It goes all the way around the clock tower. It doesn't look like it's in distress. You see how this one goes outside instead of through? So it doesn't seem like that was part of the original construction to me. Other things up in here, you can see all these props. The props just go everywhere, and they're kind of done somewhat poorly. Props going everywhere. Some of these are done a little bit better than others. Sometimes we just got banding. Sometimes we drop on to loose brick. Sometimes you get this wall that goes up. It's supposed to hold up the whole end of this over here. And it's central to that. So there's props going this way and this way. And so that's split the wall. And then sometimes you just have a single piece of wood or a couple pieces of wood that goes down and on loose brick. So, we've been up through this. We've taken a look at the outside. I'm going to propose to come back to you and say, okay, here's what I see on the outside with regard to the stone. If we tuck point everything, it's going to cost this much. If we tweak this in the stairways, it's going to cost this much. If we do the turn metal repairs and repaint it, it's going to cost this much. If we look at the copper gutters and stuff and the valleys and we work on that, it's going to cost us all going to be broken down. Priority-wise, I think the turn metal is probably a higher priority than, say, all the tuck pointing on the stone. At least we can get you these prices to look at. But the thing that concerns me is the inside attic. And while I was able to get quite a bit of information in one day, quite frankly, this thing needs to be studied further. And it's going to take a crew. I will honestly tell you, I think it's probably going to take three guys 2 days. And that's if we stay overnight. Because there's no drawings. And every time I turn around, I start following a load path. And all of a sudden, it just disappears.
And before I can come back and say what all that means, it's acting, actually, one of my very young partners, who's pretty damn sharp, figured it out. I've shown this to him, he laughed and said it's a teepee. And what it is the teepee that comes up and rests on that clock tower. And we need to make sure the teepee is stable. So take the cowhide off the teepee.
So,
wonderful work. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Okay.
Good job. Well, I think this is going to continue to work for Howard to make it work. And he and I are all working with Jeff and start working on what the programming needs are. So we can start looking at the addition on the side and see what that's going to involve. So this is our background work. We're ready now to get serious about getting started on some design work. I'm anxious, my people are anxious to delve into this project. So that's kind of where we're at right now. So I don't know, Chris, what do you think? We're coming back.
Well, my recommendation would be let me put a proposal together, run it through Rob, have it come through you guys, and see if you want me back to look at your attic somewhere. Because I think arguably you can see why I'm more concerned about your attic than really anything else.
Jay, is that something you guys want to discuss further? Have to look at the numbers, or do you want this crew to come up here and give us a complete snapshot?
In my opinion, I think we need a complete snapshot, not in particular of the attic. I mean, that's major structural concerns. So.
Let's think about it. And try to figure out what that will cost. I suppose that that ends up being a lot of money too, but it's not just going to make well at 5 square feet times $100 a square foot to $500. You've got to figure out what the heck you've got first. There's a lot of tinker toys that are really going to take out. And we need to get the tinker toys there.
The good news is that you want to get a vote from the council regards to that, or, I mean, he's...
I would entertain the most. I will make the motion that we have a complete picture, snapshot of everything, including the structural repair of the attic, of what it would cost.
Okay. But yeah. Is there a way that you can give us an idea so we can maybe put like a not to exceed on it?
I can do a study for not to exceed $10,000. And I'm not saying it's going to be $9,500. I don't know. If you want not to exceed $10,500.
$10,000.
I could go level with $10,000. If you need to go closer 12. Than that, I got to go back and work on
it. If you just go 12, I'll give you a little extra. Give you 20 something.
You're hard to work with. You're hard to work with.
Well, it's important.
It is important. It is important. It's a big deal.
Entertain a motion to have it not to exceed for the... structural engineer to look at the courthouse.
I'll make a motion to set aside no more than $12,000 for the snapshot.
Second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Strong work.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
I'm
you.
Very impressed. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I definitely think we've got the right people doing
thank
this
you
work.
Much.
Oh, you did. Jeff, I don't know if I recommended you.
I did. Yeah, I want to talk to you after.
Okay. So somebody needs you waste on
the think so?
Put these to put in a different
level. No, I'm not sure.
I will. Yeah. He's got some information for you, what we discussed earlier.
I'll give you all the one more and it's worth the time.
The question is, can we have these in public display? So if you want to set them up in a room, okay. So if you want to use our room from here, put them up somewhere so people can see them.
Okay, we have Ryan Harrison from the Flexible Plan Library.
I'm Ryan. Do I need to stand up or speak into a microphone? Or
you can just stand up if you would, please.
I asked for 10 minutes, and I promise I won't take any more than 7.
We'll give you 8.
But I asked to come and speak on behalf of myself, a resident of Plaskett County, and I wrote down some words I'm going to read. Good evening, my name is Ryan Harrison. I'm a resident of the town of Pulaski. Last month, I read that the council was discussing the closing of the Maderico Library Branch. Like Mr. and Mrs. Perkins, who are here and spoke last month, I care deeply about the library services for the county residents. I have a son who's in kindergarten, and he has visited the library many times since he was very young. I myself grew up in Monticello, but I've lived in Plaskett County for the last 12 years. I'm also a foster parent and a court-appointed special advocate for children, so I understand the importance of libraries and the services they provide to our youth. When I heard about a possible closure of Maderico branch back in 2012, I attended the library board meeting to learn more. At that time, I was upset to hear that the library may be closing. I travel a lot with my job, and I've often used the computers and services in the Maderico branch. During the meetings I attended in 2012, I listened as the board and residents discussed several possibilities for improving the use of the library. Both sides seemed to come to an agreement in wanting to see the branch succeed, but also understood that if it got too bad, the library board would have to take action. When the issue came up this year, I attended the library board meeting again to see where things were headed. I've listened to both sides of the argument, and from what I heard, it was a difficult decision for both sides. Unfortunately, many of the people who spoke the loudest didn't have an appreciation or understanding of the groundwork that was completed by the residents and the board in 2012. As a member of the public who attended the meetings, I was confused by this year's Chicken Little, the Sky is Falling complaints. This was a well-advertised meeting and situation. There was a not-to-exceed point for the branch to remain open. When I visited the Maderico branch, I would see signs that they had posted about the 2012 decision and limit. If people didn't go to the library board meetings, the board clearly advertised in the branch for the residents to use the facility or potentially lose it. If residents weren't using the library, they might not know about the meetings. But the problem is, people were not using the library. I'm actually surprised that the current library board, I know that we have some members here, didn't decide to close up and just sell the building. If residents only listened to those Chicken Littles that ran around, they might think that this is what the board was actually doing. Although from what I understand, leaving the community in Maderico is clearly not the board's plan. During the most recent meetings and in news articles that I've read, it was stated that the library is going to continue services provided to the town residents through computers and wireless access. I must say, there are 9 townships served by the library district. I'm under the impression that all districts pay the same tax rate. I myself live in one of 7 townships that doesn't have access to library services locally. If I want to use the library in person, I have to drive to get there. Now, you may ask me, would I like to have a library branch in Star City or Pulaski? You bet I would. Do I think it would be a responsible use of the taxpayers' dollars? No, it's not. When people such as myself make the decision to live in rural communities, we must accept the fact that we will have to drive to get access to services. Driving places is a fact of life in rural communities. Basically, my hope in coming here tonight is to offer you an outside perspective on what's taken place at the board meetings the last few years. I'm sure you've often heard people grumble outside your meetings about the decisions that were made, and maybe you felt like telling them, if they care, they should have come to the meetings to voice their opinions. I've attended several of the library board meetings and listened to quite a bit of community discussion. There's been talk of this being an east versus west side issue. As I mentioned in the beginning, I'm not originally from Plaskett County, but from the meetings I attended, this clearly was not an east versus west battle for the board. The library is still planning on having a presence there, which I believe displays their commitment to the services on the west side of the county.
It was clearly a difficult decision for the library board, but I believe that they're acting in the best interest of the 11,000 residents that they serve. I told you I wouldn't take too much of your time. In closing, as the county faces difficult financial times, tough decisions made in the best interest of the greatest number must be made by intelligent people such as you folks sitting here and those, in this case, on the library board. Thank you for allowing me to speak tonight and for your continued service to the people of Blasco.
Thank you.
Judy? I have nothing more to say. And thank you so much for letting us be here tonight. Mr. Meinhardt is here with me. I see some other library board members, and I appreciate their support. As I assume you all received your letters and your information, and that's what I wanted to talk about tonight. When we made this decision to close the library branch, it was not an easy one at all. As you can see, Ryan's covered a lot of, and I thank him for his support. He covered a lot of what I was going to say tonight, and I commend him for coming and speaking through. What we have is a library that was not being used and utilized as it should, and we tried our level best over the years to remedy that. As you can see by the board minutes, numerous things were tried. None of them seemed to work. However, our goal is to keep the library presence there in the form of the computers, Wi-Fi, internet access, as the library's presence in that building. And it also is our hope to have someone lease the building that is community-minded. We have several options that we're exploring that is community-minded, that will allow all of the things that happen there now by way of club meetings, meeting circles, any community activity that's held there now would be able to be held there because the building would still be there and it would be a community-friendly entity, whoever that ends up being. Like Ryan said, we could have just walked away and said goodbye. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody. And really, when you think about it, the way that libraries are evolving, and they are, the most important part, or one of the most important parts, will still be there for internet access, computers, and I think that's huge. If you read my numbers in my letter, that's a very huge part of the library now. Not all, but it is every year evolving more towards that. And there also will be all of the children's books left, numerous, and some adult fiction will be there for their use. That's probably where volunteers will come in. The programs will be too. We hope to be able to still do some programs like summer reading, etc., you know, with their permission, whoever has the building, and I'm sure that will be. But our goal really is to not leave the community high and dry, to leave something there that will be beneficial to the whole community for numerous reasons, including the books that will still be left there. And there are libraries in the vicinity, several, that they can use, whether they drive to Winnemac, drive to San Pierre, drive to Francisville. Yes, it will be an inconvenience, but it's not out of the realm of possible. In this day and age of people going to Monticello, to Walmart, and Logansport, to this grocery store, and Winnemac, that it's a time where everybody drives to go anywhere. So what we want to leave is our presence in the community and still be a help and providing someone that will work with the community, and that's our way of offering to leave a lot there, a very nice building that can be utilized in a lot of different ways.
Dee, what are some of the options that you were referring to for the building? So that someone might release it?
Our hope is to lease it to an entity that will keep it open for all of the things that I just said. Mrs. Bergens had mentioned that, you know, they would be losing their place where they had their knitting circle and their book clubs and their, I believe, after school activities, and the building will still be there. And when we do lease, if we do lease, that will be the goal, to lease to someone that will let that happen.
Judy, if you're going to have internet there and Wi-Fi and children's books, so
now we're going to leave the computers, all of the computers, the upkeep of them, anything that you need to keep those computers there and running. If they need fixed, we'll fix them. If they need replaced, we'll replace them. That will be our presence. And then there are numerous children's books and some adult fiction left there too on the side bookcases, and we're plan on leaving those there.
My question is, if you're leaving that stuff, mm-hmm. basically, where's the savings?
The savings is in the...
You're going to have somebody there.
We're leaving... No, we're not. We're leaving them for the town or whoever is in there. And if... Okay, you saw the numbers.
Yes.
Okay? At the... No more than they check out. And I don't want this to sound... It is what it is. Since the checking out of actual books was way down, I think probably by leaving those books there, especially for the kids, because that was a big concern, that we were taking away the children's books, etc. By leaving those there, either a person that volunteers or someone in whoever is in that building could simply have a check in and out book, and they could take books out and bring them back and take some more. On kind of an honor system. It wouldn't be the library, but it would be access to books.
Okay, well...
Yeah, that's...
As I kind of understood it, the building would still be open, and you've got the computers, the Wi-Fi.
The computers will stay
Somebody
there.
Has to be there, or you won't have. I mean...
Well, we can't just open the building. Once we get someone in there... The building will be open, and therefore the computers will be available to the public. The computers will be our contribution, and or your contribution as you will, because it's taxpayers' money that's putting them there and keeping them there.
So nothing's going to happen until...
No, nothing can happen until we find someone that's suitable, that is willing to do all of this, a community-minded...
Okay, that kind of answers my question. And I was thinking you're going to have these services, so you had to have somebody to operate.
It will be whoever, if and when we lease the building, it will be whoever. And that will be part of the prerequisite to leasing the building. It will have to be a community effort.
Okay, I understand now.
Okay. No one likes this. Was not an easy decision. But we have a board that works well together. We have a group of people from different backgrounds and organizations. We have a lot to offer. Everybody's very passionate about their seat on the board. And we all made the decision collectively, and we all stuck by it because we felt to be considered a fiscally responsible board, yet a caring board. This was the direction we decided we had to take. And then the caring part is to keep it. Somehow we need to find somebody in there to stay in the community, keep the building open.
And currently, the building's open how many hours a week?
Well, now, not at all.
All right.
Before the close, I believe we were down to 2 days a week.
Two full days?
No, 13 hours.
A week?
Yes.
At the very end, we had. But up right. until, I believe, October, it was open 3 days a week. And we tried various days. We tried various hours. We, as you can see by the list that I included in your letter, numerous attempts at different things were tried by asking for input from the community and then trying our very level best, or McKinsey's actually very level best, to work with the hours and the programs, et cetera, to generate interest, and it's just simply not there.
So, okay, these 13 hours, I've been to a board meeting, so maybe I'm a little more involved, but I don't want to get, you know, take care of all of these questions if you folks have questions as well. But something that I was wondering is these 13 hours that were being spent in Madarieville were from employees out of the Winnemac Library, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you closed it January 1, you had a savings of those 13 hours.
Well, we had a savings of much more than that. You're just talking about the last little bit.
I'm just talking about 13 hours right
okay.
now.
Okay. All right.
So you had 13 hours of savings of employees going over there, who, if they weren't there, I suppose now they're at the Winnemac Library.
Yes, one lost their job because of this.
Okay. And what other expenses were lessened as a result of the closure?
Any expenses that's involved in running a big building, utilities?
How much were the utilities there?
I don't have that in front of me. I'm sorry, I didn't prepare for that question, and I apologize for that.
Well, I've been by the building. I mean, it's not a big building. You know,
pretty good size when you go in.
Okay. But you, no one has any idea what the expense is just keeping the place open? Sir?
If I can emphasize on the attorney for the library board, the one who's drawing up the lease and bargaining position, I mean, McKinsey would have a more complete answer to this. You're talking about insurance.
I just
you know how much insurance and casualty loss, because you're talking about licensing. I mean, it costs the Plaska County Library so much to license the products over there. Book fees, maintenance, upkeep, and taxes assessed on the property would all be passed along to the new tenant through this lease. And I'll have a complete answer for you, McKinsey, you know, if you'd like to direct that question.
Just the ballpark.
Complete answer.
You know, I've been
ballpark. Ballparking because I don't know offhand.
So in all these,
I don't want to speak out of turn.
So in all the conversations about closure, it never came up about how much money they're saving?
No, sure it has.
But we don't have
And I'm not a board member. I can let 20 other board members and maybe ask for recollection.
Okay.
So, but.
All right, that's fine. I just wondered if you had the numbers handy.
Sure.
We can certainly get those for you if you require them for something. But like I say, it was a decision made over a long period of time, and to say a 13-hour, that's not the big picture. The big picture was when indeed there was people there, and it was open, and it was available, and we watched the decline with a sad heart. Of course we did. But like I say, it was a decision that we made, and I think rightfully so. I would feel differently if we were just going to walk away and say, see ya. But nobody wants to do that. Nobody. Never entered anyone's mind to do that. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you letting us come in and bring up the speed on it. Thanks. Thank you.
want to go with the sheriff, or do we want to go ahead and get somebody to do it and get out of the way? Just go ahead and get some of this other stuff out of the way, sheriff. If you don't mind, you want to make a situation too with that sheriff here.
There is a notice that says additional reduction appropriation ordinance. At the last meeting, he was gracious enough to sign the paper that I had requested as a reduction, which was wonderful, except I had to advertise it first. So if it's okay with you, I'm going to advertise it, and then I'll bring it before you again. And what it's for is to take the salary of the IT out of the commissioner's budget and reduce it. Take it completely out of the commissioner's budget, and it will be put in his own budget, which you've approved the additional for tonight. I just forgot to advertise it, and I have to do that.
I have a motion to approve the additional reduction for
IT. Second. We've got a motion to second to approve the additional reduction as presented. We have to follow the favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries.
Thank you. The second one is we're asking for an additional in the clerk's budget because there was things left out of her budget. She does have meetings that she does have to attend. So she did request these. This is what was put in, I think, from the year before.
That's $900.
Pardon?
That's $900.
Yes. But they were left out of her, left out of the major budget.
And there's no way to transfer? There's nothing that can be transferred?
She didn't ask me to transfer. She asked for an additional. If you want me to deny it, I can ask her if she would transfer in there.
I guess I'm going to keep saying that over and over, is just to possibly look for transfers first so that we can be more fiscally responsible.
Okay. So transfers.
The only most of the other departments have done that, and it seems to have helped.
Want to table this thing? Entertain a motion to either table it or deny it. Either way.
I make a motion to table it to see if we can get a transfer before we do anything with an additional.
Here we got a motion to table the additional request by the clerk. We got a motion to second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. Another one that I have is the salary ordinance was revised. There was a new deputy, first deputy in the clerk's office. And I've got circuit court in there, and it's wrong. I guess she's the clerk for the circuit court. Her wage was, the first deputy's wage was more than what you wanted to start her out at, and so I did the revision. I just need an approval.
And this is the figure that we talked about last meeting.
This is what you told us to start her. Yes.
Okay. Entertain a motion to approve the revised salary ordinance that presented.
So
okay, we got a motion. We got a motion to second to revise salary ordinance. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
We want opposition. Motion carries.
Okay. I've got the additional appropriation ordinance that we had advertised at the last meeting. I have three on here, and basically what they are the three that was cut during budget time, and we put them back in. The airport's budget, we cut bad in there. But the total that's in his fund, he's got enough to cover this amount, and the amount was the $48,754. The other one was in Cume Capital for the courthouse, building and structure. His budget carried a $200,000. You cut it and then said put in $100,000 out of the Cume Cap development for there. And the rainy day fund has been budgeted to pay the liability insurance.
Any questions on that?
I guess I'm still a little confused.
These budgets were all cut.
Correct.
Because of the amount of money that we had to cut.
So where are we getting it from now?
You're getting it from the same fund. But what we did was we reappropriated, we redid it in a different fund than County General. The courthouse building and structure you took from County General Courthouse to CUME Capital. And the liability insurance you took from Cadget and put it into Rainy Day. The airport budget is getting less, and his budget is less than what he originally requested, but we had to wait till we got our budget papers back to find out if we had to cut any more, and we did not. Our budget is certified for 2016.
This, the airport budget, we had, what, 26,000 budget is all?
You cut it all the way down. You cut everything out but the wage.
So,
and you cut his less than what he was making, and he didn't ask for a raise.
So we get $300. Any questions on any of the additionals?
And this is for advertising, or it's
no,
it was already
for approval.
Advertised.
It was already advertised. The only, when it comes to the airport, everything was cut out, and Jim and I went through everything, and he put in there what he thought he would need to get through this year. When it comes to the courthouse, CUME Capital, that was a decision you made. When it comes to the rainy day, I hate to say this, but we've got to have liability insurance. And I mean, I don't know where, when you cut it out of one of the funds and you put it into a fund that basically is one of our emergency funds, but it has to be paid. Whether you take it from rainy day or what, it still has to be paid. That's the vehicles, that's the property, that's everything when it comes to the liability.
That's for the end of this year?
That's for next year, this coming year, right?
This coming year.
Yeah, we got to start today with what our first game. How many board members are there in the airport?
There is, I think, 5. I can tell you. There's 6. Plus the manager. I don't know if he's on the board or not, but. The airport and the health department were the two funds that got hit really, really hard this year. And I think both people that are in charge of these funds stepped up to the plate and cut like they should. Health department cut over $150,000. And the airport, they cut, I think he cut almost 60.
He cut it more than almost half of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But the health, you're talking about the two that have cut their budgets. I see the airport back on here, but the health department's not on here.
No, she's got another fund to go to. She has 2 grants that she's got, and she's trying to reflect some of her expenses into the grants. And pay them out of there instead of out of the county health fund. She cut some of her programs that she had also.
What do you want to do here, people?
I will make a motion to approve these additional funds. Liability, courthouse, and airport.
I'll second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second to approve the additionals as presented. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, the opposite, the motion carries. Okay. transfers?
You want to do the emergency transfers, and then I think Jeff's got some in the regular transfers. The emergency transfers, the only reason they were done was because we had a shortfall in some of the appropriations. Some was caused from too much being paid out of something, and the amounts that are here were just exactly the amount that I needed to get them out of the red. I called Jay and got verbal approval, and yes, we have done them, but all they were was just transfers within the line items.
Just want to keep me out of jail, it'd be a good idea to go ahead.
We kind of have to do this every year. It's something that kind of happens.
Couldn't wait to the meeting, basically. You couldn't wait to this meeting, so.
All we're doing is getting the appropriation out of the red.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to accept these as approved by Jay.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve the emergency transfers for $8,149.65. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries.
The election board, there's a transfer for the election board. They have withdrew their request, so if you would please make that zero. The commissioners, the request that is the transfer on it is because of the CSI bills, which we talked about earlier. The rest of it's the sheriff stuff.
Second.
Do we get a motion and a second? Now, is this includes everything on this?
Commissioner's transfer.
Commissioner's transfer, okay.
And the election board? You're zeroing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, it's the first three on there. Got a motion?
The second two. The first one.
Second, sir.
Right.
Okay, your motion then, Doug, was for the election board and commissioners only?
Yes.
Okay. So we got a motion and second for the transfer of the election board and the commissioners for the $2,500 and the $1,239. All those in favor?
Zeroing the $2,500.
Yeah. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. And we got the sheriff stuff. We got three items here, four items. Any questions for the sheriff in regards to that, Sheriff?
I had a CAGE, a general work release, 911. So, what are you talking about? Let me read these.
Well, we got overtime jail commander and overtime jailers, and then you got your gas, oil, and two overtime dispatch by concur.
Then a work release, and then the statewide 911 to 1222.
Yes.
I'll make a motion to approve those transfers as stated for the shipment related to the sheriff's.
A second.
Can we get a motion and second to approve the transfers for the sheriff? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries.
There's still one more.
Yeah, it was for the distributed building repairs, right? Last one, Sheila?
That was it. That's.
Yeah, 4,500 for work comp.
Yeah.
Where's it?
533.
That's the highway.
Distributed? Yeah, for the highway department.
Yes, their workman's comp, they're covering the total cost of it.
We already did approve that one?
I thought you did when you approved the rest of his stuff. Maybe you didn't.
I don't think we did.
We did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion and second to approve the $4,100 transfer. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Okay, Sheriff, you're up here in a moment, sir.
All right. I know by law I'm supposed to give you commissary report on July 1st and at the end of the year, so that's that. The other thing I guess I wanted to do was hand you over. I know that usually just goes to Sheila, but I just wanted you to know that we do take in money and bring it back to the county, and this is our work release money. I know Sheila usually just gets those checks once a month. They don't want me to bring that over to you guys. Either there is money coming from him. You know, we already talked about some of the people that have lost. We're in the process of, we're going to fill Bill's position this week. We have two guys in the jail that were supervisors that we're going to interview on Wednesday. They turned in their resumes today. We're going to interview them Wednesday, and so we'll have a new jail commander by the end of the week. Then we'll fill that position, I'm sure, from somebody inside the jail, and then we'll have a process to hire. We've already put that in the paper, hire some two full-time jailers. We put in the advertising for the part-time cooks. We'll see what that means. We talked about working eventually with compensation money there as much as 40 cents on each meal. And then we're in the process to fill a position for a new deputy. So we've started all those processes. We thought we had the deputy position filled, and that didn't work out. So we'll start that process for a new deputy. We've got some really good candidates. Some of them running from the jail. We've got a local kid that's applying. I think it's a good, solid person, so we'll see how that turns out. The other thing is that we looked at our budget. I don't know if Sheila agrees with this, and I'm not here to start an argument with her, but I didn't get a chance to get over here and talk to her about it today, but I think that from our last year's budget, we're returning $130,000. So, you know, we are, that doesn't count that A.D. Roger on the vehicles, that would be above that. We never really got that money, so I don't know that, you know, we can count that. But from last year's budget, we returned $130,000.
So you still have $80,000 in the budget for the vehicles?
I don't think so. I think that was cut.
That's 2016. He's talking 15.
I'm talking 15 from our 15 budget.
But the vehicles are in your 16 budget.
They're not. No, I think you're getting that back. And that's fine. Okay. That's fine. We can live with that.
Okay.
I was just one. I thought that was pretty good that, you know, we saved that much and returned that much money from our 15 budget. I know that. Okay, what's the? I'm trying to think of the. Encumber. We did some of that. I'm not going to say that we didn't, but, you know, we didn't try to use up all that money just because we had it. I said, let's return that. Hopefully that helps you guys. But, you know, part of my goal as sheriff was to save money, and I think we've done that in our first year. And I feel good about that. I don't feel good about the people that we've lost, but That's what it is.
There were some questions. I know Doug sent some emails to you. I was involved in on the pay for the individual replacement.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you did talk about how that's going to work. I mean, if you want to go with a matrix with it, then they'll have a salary, right?
Are we talking about like Phil's position?
Yes, the three positions.
What's that?
I don't know what you're jumping on.
I thought it was on the canine. It was the response I saw.
there's correspondence back and forth.
We're talking about entry wages for one the deputy that didn't work.
Right, was right. So
that was a good point anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought you guys, you know, there's some discussion with that with Detective Stram and you know, he had 37 years ago. I don't know if he wants everybody to know that long ago. He actually worked for the county for a year under Bane Ward. I've already told him that you guys talked about that in the last meeting and said that if you leave county employment, you come back and start over. And so I don't think we have that issue with anybody. I understand what Doug's saying now. I went in on those emails, but the guy that we were going to bring back has worked as a deputy before, and he would have had like 3 or 4 years. And to me, that's, you know, some of the stuff that may need to be worked out in Matrix, but it sounded like you guys settled that issue last meeting. I think you said you wanted people to start over. If they left county employment and they come back, then they start as year one again. And I think as long as everybody knows that going into it, that's perfectly fair. You know, I think there's some issues with maybe, you know, if you have somebody that leaves in good standing. I don't know what that would be, but it always seems like when you lay that blank slate down there, there's always somebody that pops up that you think, oh, shoot, we didn't think of that. But I think, you know, from the employees that are sitting over there now, there's nobody that has any issues of starting for what their time is right now. So
Sheila, are you comfortable? Do you know what these wages should be then?
No.
Okay.
I have not seen the Matrix.
Well, I haven't approved the Matrix.
Well, and you guys said
we talked about it on the 11th or last joint session. We got the blessing of the commissioners to look at it if everybody's comfortable with it. So is that something that the council wants to pursue now? At least that we need to decide on a wage for 3 employees that need to replace. Has everybody had a chance to look over the information that Alex and Doug and Linda put together in the Sheriff's Department?
And keep in mind what you have in front of you from the Sheriff's Office is separate from ours, and ours doesn't include the Sheriff's Office.
The way I understand it right now is if the Matrix is approved, okay, there would be an additional $64,800 in wages for the Sheriff's Department personnel. And $63,000 increase in wages for the balance of the employees within the county, and a lot of that goes to the highway department because they have so many people that have longevity there.
And there's still a couple of things that I haven't been able to put online. You'll see a couple of question areas like Dave Bear's position. I guess that would still be $37,500 if you approved it. But then there's also like Sheila gets the $1,000. It says plus under auditor, plus $1,000 for the commissioner's secretary, plus $1,000. You know, so there's those couple little items that need to be plugged in when and if. But it's not, I mean, those are probably two or three of the things.
None of those can be done this year. Because anybody that's elected, their wages are locked in when you adopt the budget in October. So anything that was given to commissioners, council...
No. I guess you mean you don't get your $1,000?
We get nothing. You set the budget...
You get what was in there last year, right?
Pardon?
You get what was on there last year.
Yeah, we have to... We had to divide our wages by 27 pays where everybody else carried...
No, but you get the extra for being at the meetings.
But I got that adopted in October.
But it's in there.
Yes.
Okay. So it's there. It may not be on my paperwork yet. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, any increase that you give an elected official, it won't go into effect this year. It can't. State law. Once you guys adopt in October for the next year, you cannot increase. You cannot give bonuses. You cannot give anything to an elected official.
So that's why we're trying to work on it before.
I think ours is in the budget.
Yeah, yours is.
From what?
It was not adopted, though, Sheriff.
Yeah. Now, Sheila, you told me that this was set downstate, that paper right there, and that has the matrix on it.
It might have a matrix, but I've got a sheet that everything was cut too because they told me to go back to the original wage. And I did.
Well, I'd really like to look at this some more. That, you know, this is the same thing that happens every time with some office holders. That, you know, if you want to have this argument now, Sheila, let's have it. Because you
knew exactly what they were. I ain't got nothing to do with that. I don't make that decision. The council does.
We froze wages for this year until after we had a chance to look at this situation that you got, Sheriff. And that's what we're talking about right now would be if we want to approve the matrix for this year, which would be the increases. Well, it wouldn't be the same increases then for the county balance because there wouldn't be any increases in there, right? You including elected officials?
We have. Because what we did was we were told if we're going to do a matrix, we were looking for consistency. And that's percentages all being consistent, and the director or supervisor or department head, whatever you want to call them, consistent, and then those percentages of the employees consistent. And that's what we did, and looking at longevity. But I guess, again, because... But you can't take what we changed, the supervisor, director, whatever you want to call it, department heads, you can't change those now because...
Just elected officials.
Oh, just elected. Yes. Okay. So it really wouldn't affect his.
Just him.
I didn't ask.
He didn't ask for
anything. He's an elected official.
Okay, so it would be just elected officials. But given that, is ours going to work, or do we have to hold off until next October? And if that's the case, I'm willing to do that for the county because I honestly want to do it right and do it
That's not well right now.
Because we can't change Sheila's, we can't change any of the elected officials.
We can go ahead and get it approved with the exception of that.
But you're still basing it off of a percentage. It doesn't matter if I'm basing it off of a 37.5.
You can base everybody off 100,000 if you want.
But it's
just
not
an extra percentage. That's simple.
What you're saying is the amounts that you had here were based on the head department head salaries. If they don't get an increase in salary, which you had figured in the matrix,
correct? Is that true or no?
Well, that would be the way to do it, right? It's to approve it as you guys have it set up now, right?
Eventually, you would want to adopt that salary for the official, but you can still base.
You can base it off of the head
salary, right? 37.5 number, if you wanted to.
Okay. That's just not what they would make. You can base it off that exactly right.
Okay. Certainly, I'm not speaking for Alex, and I'm still including them because you came up with the framework for things, and certainly I think we would want it to be adopted because, once again, she's asking us for, can I have salaries or wages for these people? Every time we go through this, we wouldn't have to go through it. We had this to look at and go, well, based on years of service, you know, are they a assistant or first deputy or not? Is it just base pay? Is it a percentage because they're a... So I think it's something that we could then... You wouldn't have a whole lot of questions. We wouldn't have to address it every time. So, yes, I think we can do it. I would like to...
We've got to have advertising, right, Sheila?
No. Unless you're doing additionals to increase the wages.
Pardon?
Unless you're doing an additional to increase the wages.
Well, that's what we would be doing. What's fancy, folks? Do we want to advertise it? What do we want to do?
You need a motion to advertise it?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to advertise it as presented.
One second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second to advertise the revised salary ordinance for the matrix. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries.
I do want to state that I talked to Sheila earlier on the day and we said we would sit down and go over these numbers. I also need to include Kevin or get his input about, and maybe he would have that information, but he said before we do all of it to make sure that we're figuring out there's some of these that get some of their money from the state and some of theirs from grants and different things. So he said to make sure we've included that.
Can I ask you to sit down with Sheila for an hour?
Absolutely.
Let her know what the
rates of pay are for the three individuals, the sheriff's going to hire them?
Yeah. Just so that you know, I don't know the matrix. So I will have to have somebody sit down and work with me on the salary ordinance to get it right.
And I also said that I know Doug can probably attest to this too, and you do this all the time. Once you go through these numbers over and over and over and over, you can miss things so easily. So I would prefer to have somebody double-check things too, absolutely.
Do you want to make them retroactive, or are you just going to wait until you approve them?
I don't. Right now, the motion is just to...
It's just to advertise.
To advertise it, and I don't think we need to make it retroactive. That'd just be a mess.
Okay.
So when would you expect it to start, and I guess it'd be... I'm just asking how I'm going to get asked tomorrow, so...
Yes, it's been approved to be advertised today, so if we make it next month, we have so many days to be advertised. And if we approve it next month, then how long does it take? 10 days to get back to the state?
Usually 10.
So you're looking at a month and a half, probably. Not quite that long.
Okay. And I apologize to Sheila if I've spoken out of turn, but to be quite honest, this has been a lot of work, and we're just about to the end of it. I thank all of you for what you've done. I know three of you put a lot of work into it. I appreciate it. I apologize, Sheila, if I've spoken out of turn.
You're fine.
But, you know, I just really want to get this either started or ended tonight. So thank you for what you've done, and I hope that it works out well for all of us.
And then if we could get your support, Sheriff, while we can, and either Linda, Alex's, or Doug's support to meet with Sheila to sit down and go over all the numbers so that she knows what she has to do, because I'm sure it's going to get more complicated than just adopting the matrix, because the salary orders are going to change the health care, and everybody's salary can be affected. So if you would do that, I'd appreciate it.
So, just so I'm clear again, what will happen now is the employees get the raise, elected officials don't. Is that correct? Until you visit again in October.
Well, we can't give the elected officials a raise until...
That's what I'm saying. So,
yeah, until next year's election.
All right. So I think that works perfect for my department. I don't know.
Well, we are going to use the percentage of the department head's wages that aren't getting an increase based on an increase.
Because I can't tell you how many now we're going to be talking about.
There's going to be a situation that now next year, if we give them what we had advertised for them for this year, then the people that are the percentage of the world won't get any raise.
Say that again.
Okay, let's say Sheila makes $35,000. She had advertised, well, if she wanted $37,000, we didn't give it to her. She has $35,000. We're going to base the employees under Sheila at her $37,000 rate. Next year, she gets a $37,000 rate for her wage. The people that are going off the percentage of that aren't going to get any money. Increase in pay, because now they're still getting the same percentage of the $37,000.
Well, correct, but they will if they moved up in longevity.
Okay.
Which is the whole point.
Okay.
Good. And I think you see after the first couple of years, this really, it really nosedives. I think it even goes down more, because what hit us so hard is having so many dispatchers. At the top of the matrix already.
And probably on the county side, the highway department is probably what hit us the hardest, just because you guys have the longest, the employees that have been there the longest. You know, you're talking 30 plus years.
We're rewarded longevity.
No, that's just not county general, is it? Huh? I don't think any of that comes out of county general, is it?
No. No, that's not the county general.
All right, thank you very much. I apologize.
No, you're fine.
Minutes?
Before you do minutes, you need to do appointments. I don't want to forget to do those. One is the Alcoholic Beverage Board. Your county appointee, or your council appointee, was Maury Popke. My other question is, do you want to make one motion at the end once you've appointed?
Yeah, just make one motion. Just go through if anybody has any concerns about it.
Okay. Maury Popke was your council appointee. The next one is Kankakee Regional Planning Commission. Council representative was Jay Sullivan. LEPC, 1 year term, was Tom Roth. The Property Tax Assessment Board of Appeals, Alan Cotner and Michael White. You have a couple terms that are coming up in the summer. Those are marked. Plaski Human Service Transportation Advisory Council, Howard Connor. We did have Mr. Ketchum's resign from the Plaski County Public Defender Board, and both judges will do the appointment for that. And Plaski County Board of Zoning Appeals, the county council was for Pam Chumley. I did bring this up at the last meeting, but the motion wasn't made. And that's it. That's your appointment.
Okay. Entertain a motion to approve the appointments as presented by Sheila. We've got a motion and a second to approve the appointments as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Who made the motion? I know Tom.
Doug and Tom second.
Thank you. Now your minutes. And there was at the last meeting, we had a special session, and only Doug and Mike TV signed it. The rest of you did not. So please try to remember to sign everything that I passed to you. I've got them marked.
So, you got a motion through the minutes, second?
Did you get my correction in the round, Sheila?
No.
I think Gary knows you. I spoke for both.
If you make your motion, make your motion with a correction, and I will correct it.
Okay, motion was made with the correction?
Yes.
I surprised everybody. Okay, we get a motion and second to approve the minutes with the correction noted. All those in favor say aye.
Who made the motion? Okay. And did you second it, Doug?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Just tell me what it is, and I'll correct it.
It was the wage the First Avenue, the court, whatever it was.
Okay. Did I have a wrong amount in there or something?
No, you just opposed.
No, I was.
You opposed to it. Okay.
Any more business, Sheila?
No, that's all I have.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I would just like to say a little bit more about the Dairyville Library and that
Can I ask you to stand up?
Yes.
You go to the honor.
Okay, I can come up here. I still feel that it's in the best interest of the community over there and for the children that it remain a library in that building. I don't see that those families will go to a different library. I really don't see that happening. When the Pulaski County Public Library system was formed, it had the Dairyville branch as part of its entity. That was in the 60s when it ceased being a township and town library and incorporated those other seven townships, I believe, or eight townships in it. The building and the land were worked on by the community of Madaryville to be part of that system, the new building. Before that, we were in dilapidated buildings. I know that Mrs. Ledley has tried very, very hard but I think that some adjustments need to be made in order to reach the people there. They do not subscribe to the newspaper. There are other ways to reach them. We had 84 people come to the Santa event. We have 15 school students at the Alpellet event in late December, plus 3 toddlers. We've had a large buildup as I've tried to advertise things. And I think it's a change of how you present things to people, and they'll get the message. People post things in the post office, they post them in the bank. They don't post newspapers, so you have to approach it in a different way. Also, I just, for the record, would like you to know that I've just been certified as a librarian, level 6, and I'm working on my taking a course to be certified as level 5 in a year. I should reach that within a year, which would qualify me to be a branch manager. And at present, with the level 6, I could still do things like being a program director and work at the library. It's a professional certification through the state. I think that the county is being ripped apart by this, and I don't like to see that one bit. I want it to be unified. And the children don't have access to rides to the library, and a lot of their parents probably may not make that special trip for them. So that's probably what I would like to say. I would really like to see it remain open. I think it's workable. I wrote up some proposals where it would draw in and entice people and service them in a way that they need to be. And that's the new American Library Association's theme is transforming libraries and not the libraries that your mother had. So thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. Thank you. We were listening, by the way. There's not paper, but we were listening.
That's okay.
Thank you for your time. Yes, sir.
Jim Bergens, and I just echo those comments. And just one, our goal from the beginning was, since one approach didn't work, was to try another approach. And I would still like to do that. The taxes were mentioned. One township in the county that does not contribute to the library system, that's Beaver. So if any of those people want to use the library system within the county, they need to buy their library card. The tax rate, we don't have the final figures, but we contacted the auditor of state, and we should have those before too long. The township of Cass and White Post and the town of Madarenville pay over $100,000 a year to the Plaskett County Library System. You had asked the question, I think what you were getting at earlier, Roger, was what does it cost to operate a facility in Madarenville? So we don't know what that total cost is, but once it's repurposed with another entity running the building, and if the library's going to, board is going to maintain the equipment and the computers, I doubt that that will cost $100,000 a year. So I was just curious how, you know, what does that mean for you guys, how the remainder of that money would be utilized. But our main goal from the get-go was, despite what had happened in the past and what parts did or didn't work, was we thought we had a viable plan to make another attempt to give a shot for our manager. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And sorry.
Yes, sir.
Steve Slavin, most of you or your children, the Maryville branch of the Pulaski County Library, they came on board about 3.5 years ago with their topic of conversation. We had to come up with some way to come to try to control what was going on over there. Just slightly over 3 years ago, the board voted when the price per item being checked out was a little over $4 per item. We voted that when the cost per item reached $6.50 per item, we would revisit what we were going to do with Maryville branch of the Pulaski County Library. I was chairing that meeting, and when I wrote down the numbers, I said, this is it. We'll never have to worry about this. 3 years later, we had to worry about it because we exceeded that number. If the number of people who would, if people would have used the library, if you checked out books, if you checked out books, if everybody checked out books in town, we would never have gotten to the point where I had to lose sleep over the Maryville branch of the Pulaski County Library, where Judy had to, where Rick had to, all the other board members. We did not want this to happen. But since the library was not being used, it was fiscally responsible of us to close that. Now, people still have access to the library. It's not that the library has been pulled away from them and we're just taking their tax dollars. As he said earlier, he does not have a library in Pulaski. Doesn't have one in Star City. Their tax money comes to the library just over here a couple blocks. And I'd like people to remember that the library is the county library. If you look at the population center for our library district, as far as the number of people, where the center of mass for the population is, you would find it just a little bit to the north of 14 and about a mile and a half west of town. Our library is as close as possible to serve the greatest number of people efficiently. Thank you.
Yes, sir. One additional comment. One of the areas of confusion was the difference between use and cost per circulation. The use of the library facility was much higher than the circulation was. For instance, a lot of those programs that did have kids go to aren't counted in the circulation. So, just wanted to clarify that. There's no difference there.
Yes, ma'am?
I just wanted to mention the time zone problem, because the hours that the library was open didn't include the time zone. We were bordered on the north and the west by the central time zone, and a great number of our people work on those time zones, in that time zone. And so to them, and that's also a problem with getting to the library board meeting. To them, everything's an hour sooner. So the library, instead of closing at 6, would close at 5. Instead of at 7 on Fridays, it would close at 6. And so the only people that could actually go to the library are either unemployed or retired people. For the most part. And the other thing that I mentioned way back in August was that the children's programs were Friday early evening, which is when sports happen and people get their paychecks. And so there are different problems that exacerbated this dilemma that we're in. But the time zone is very relevant over there, but it might not be anything that you would think of over here. So I wanted to bring that up also. It's just open from 12 to 6, which would be 11 to 5.
Mr. Slavin, last word. I see you shaking your head.
There's no problem. This problem is with Jerryville. When I came on the board, I was given a packet about the library history. Library history goes back quite a while. The problems with the Missouriville branch goes back at least 35 years. It's nothing new. We've been dealing with problems for at least that long. Every time we get to a point where we think we're going to do something, it's like a child down at school. We're going to make it right next week. Some of you got those students. Some of you were that student. One over there. Only wait for the last minute to try to solve the problem. We've been over these problems over and over. Again, it was not something that the board did in haste. We deliberated long and hard.
Thank you, sir. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Thanks for your hard work.
Jerry, you're going to have to get a bigger tablet.
I don't know.